Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
And now, live from the round room at the Mansion House in Dublin, this is Off the Ball Live. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome on stage World Rugby Hall of Famers Brian O'Driscoll and Keith Wood, 110 times capped Kevin Kilbane, and a three-time winner of PPI Sports Broadcaster of the Year, he doesn't like to talk about it, Joe Malloy.
Come on. Yola.
Hello! You're very welcome. You're very welcome to the Mansion House. Thanks so much for coming. We have Keith Wood here, everyone.
We're sitting.
We've Brian O'Driscoll here, everyone. Kevin Kilbane as well. Very excited. I can tell a lot of you are very excited to be here. One person in particular more excited than most of you. So there's 700 of you here in the room. We did the draw as usual. And we got one tweet in from a very excited listener. Michelle McGlynn, are you in the room anywhere? Hi, Michelle. Here's just a sense of how excited Michelle McGlynn was when she found out she got her ticket. I just got my ticket to go see Johnny Sexton at Odd Off the Ball Roadshow next week. I'm basically crying on the bus. We like the enthusiasm. Michelle, we like the enthusiasm so much that after the show, you're coming backstage and you're getting your photo with Johnny Sexton. You just have to promise not to touch him. So Johnny Sexton obviously is here. Dunnock O'Callaghan is here, which is just a brilliant lineup. But we do want to, before we get into the lads, pay tribute to the sporting brilliance we have here on the stage. Over 300 international test caps between the four of us. Keith Wood, we were looking for some unusual moments from you. We found this beauty, seeing as the Lions are playing New Zealand. Proof that Keith Wood could do it all. Have a look at this.
Oh, now again, it's the All Blacks losing out in their own line-out. Here's Keith Wood showing some versatility. Now let's have a look at this.
Oh! How
many hookers around the world of international rugby can do that?
That's beautiful.
Photoshop.
Would you like me to respond to that, would you? Do you know what the best part of that was? That was you remember that? They called it the pig, that yellow Adidas ball. Nobody liked it. Rog, we can start this by baiting Rog again. Rog couldn't kick that ball. He hated it. And on the Monday morning after that test, I overheard Declan Kidney saying, if you look at the way Woody kicks that ball. And actually, if you do look at the way I kick it, it's an agricultural hoof. There's no skill involved in that. So that's what Rog needed to do.
We are tweeting out these videos for listeners at home. At Off the Ball, you can follow the show and all the photos and all the videos. So the next one, Brian, not in a creepy way, but whenever we have you doing road shows, I'll get lost in a YouTube black hole of O'Driscoll for videos that we can throw up on screen.
Right.
And this maybe is my favorite deep, deep in YouTube video of you. It's just the most...
How many pages in?
It's four or five in.
This is on the darkness, is it?
This is deep. This is incognito surfing. So, lines. The ball is kicked too far for O'Driscoll. Catches it on its foot. Catches it on his foot full speed. And then the reverse pass just to give everyone a little whoomph. Oh, come on. Brian O'Driscoll, everyone.
That's not bad, that. What the hell?
The best bit is your turnaround, the smile. Look at the smile there, you know.
I was actually hoping that Lee Halfpenny was going to drop it, not expecting it, but he did. He saw the panic hands coming out, so yeah, I was just looking at Andy Farrell going, please don't drop me for the third test.
How did that go?
Well, we're on.
Sorry. Leave me out of this. Finally, Kevin Kilbane.
Any rugby stuff?
No. This one's a beauty. Didn't have to go that deep, that far for this one, but this one came up.
This is the only one, Joe. You know that.
The best bit of this is the commentator's analysis of this brilliant overhead goal from a very young Kevin Kilbane. That's key here.
Sunderland then scored, and what a goal. Kevin Kilbane claimed afterwards he meant it.
That is scurrilous.
Cheeky.
Scurrilous.
Oh, unbelievable.
I'd say something a lot stronger. Cheeky bastard. I remember I woke up to that on a Sunday morning with listening to that commentary and I couldn't believe it. I was like, what else was I meant to do in that position? Come on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you ever met the commentator?
It's Ian Payne, isn't it? Yeah, he worked at BBC for a little bit as well.
Right.
He's poor anyway.
Past tense.
Kevin Kilbane, sadly, you are heading back to take care of the football show.
Yes, I will.
Tune in when we're off air. Kevin Kilbane, everyone. We are, as you know, HeinekenRugbyClub.com have been brilliant sponsors of us, and they help put this whole show together, and they're helping rugby fans get more out of the game, including Provincial Champions Cup and Challenge Cup tickets. HeinekenRugbyClub.com. Will we get our first guest out? Okay. Legendary status, 2 Heineken Cups, Grand Slam winner. He was a Lion in 05 and 09, a Munster's record caps holder, and currently kicking ass in the Premiership at Worcester. It's Donal O'Callaghan, everyone! You're very welcome. How are you?
Thanks, I'm very good.
Oh, can we get Dunica's mic up?
Is all of this on the radio?
He's very good. Is his mic fixed? It's only live radio.
This happened at the Nathan Carter show here 2 months ago as well.
Spare mic, I think. Spare mic for Dunica.
Feel the hair, Draco.
They're coming. Well, I'll tell you what.
The gel has gripped it and it's pulled it around the back.
Electrical interference.
That's not very nice, Brian.
You say what?
This is cruel. You're just hammering me.
Did you hear him there?
Apologies. Hi, okay. How are you?
There we go.
He's right. It was my hair gel. I need to have a look at that. Red Dax just isn't doing it for me anymore.
It's brave going red Dax with hair that length.
Yeah, I like to. Woody, you've never had this
problem. I have to say, I haven't a clue what you're talking about.
Different language, yeah. So, yeah.
Scalp wax for me. That's it.
Although I'm noticing a fair few grey ones here. How are you doing?
That's why I'm keeping their tight. So I'm going for the high and tight.
You need to go tighter. Woody, you need to cut his hair.
Yeah. Actually, Donners, to be honest, the fact that we're talking hair is kind of embarrassing on every level. Yeah. You're definitely putting a colour in your hair. I saw it outside.
I don't know where these rumours start.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Congratulations. You're Worcester's player of the season.
Yeah, thanks.
At 38 years old.
Yeah, my brothers are giving me an awful time over it. They're saying, like, you know, it says a lot about the club. If you're player of the year at 38, maybe there's a reason you're second from bottom, you know? So there's nothing like coming home to get the truth. we did a difficult year. It was disjointed off the pitch, and sometimes players, the lads would tell you more, that sometimes players can use things that go on as excuses. And I think we did that a bit as a group. And we definitely didn't fulfil our potential. When I signed, it was year one to stay up and year two to push on. And we were nowhere near it this year. And to be fair, from my view, I think we were quite lucky in the end that we got Gary Golden, who did an incredible job of keeping the squad together and putting a kind of mentality of, you know, getting the job done, and I think we went well near the end of the season. But it was, I'll be honest, it's the first season I've finished, and I was glad it was over. And I promise, body-wise, feeling good, but just mentally kind of drained after it. It was like...
It must be an interesting thing to you to go from a province where losing was a rarity, and if you lost, you'd kill each other in training all week, to, as opposed to winning being a habit, frankly, losing becoming a bit of a habit.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself almost having to remind yourself losing is very bad and I need to be very upset about this?
I'll be honest, if that happens and if you start accepting it, that's when you worry about yourself, you know, and that was the biggest thing for me, that, you know, that it still aches and it still hurts after a loss, and even just small things. I remember after some of our games, I'd get a text off Jenny saying, you're only home for 48 hours, please don't be grumpy that you lost. And because she knows that, you know, that drive, I'll be going through the video, I'll be making a few calls, trying to get it right for the weekend. And Joe, I'll be honest, I would have stepped away if that bit of fight had gone. But it's not. I want to drive on. I want to do well. I want to go and do better.
So that's you. Are the rest of the squad hurting the same way? Or have they come up through an academy or through different systems where this is the norm?
It's hard to judge, Rico. I'll be honest, we had a massive squad. So you pick 23 guys every weekend. But like, we've probably 56 guys in our squad, so the majority of the squad is quite negative and down. So to be fair, they have cut the squad a bit, and it helped the environment. I know, like, everyone slagged about Black Tuesday, but guys were getting the Grim Reaper walking down the corridor, and that's tough. But I think it's hard to say that the group kind of... It's weird to explain, but just that they go along with what they see every day, and... If you can really push the standards in there and have guys deliver, because the potential is incredible, but our problem, if I'm to be completely honest, I don't think our senior group is too bad. I think our academy is incredible. We've really good young academy guys. It's just the guys you look up to at the impressionable age don't really drive it on as much, but hopefully they've seen that a bit.
Does that make it the big issue for the next couple of years there, if that middle group don't take on the leadership mantle, do the younger group get tainted?
Yeah, and that's been what's happening, Woody. And to be fair, there has been a bit of a clear out, but it's to try to encourage the younger guys to not wait and not look to the standard ahead of them, you know, to push it through and to try to achieve in their time within it. But it has been a bit of a problem for us.
Are you still loving it?
Yeah, and that's the reason I'm playing. I we chatted.
Sure it is.
Okay,
it's the real world. The reality, the real world is beckoning. Yeah, is the reason that you're still playing.
That's true. Cutting Anthony Horgan's grass isn't appealing. That's my exit strategy. We've talked about this for years, and Hoggy, to be fair, has donated a lawnmower towards it. So. But yeah, I am. I'm loving togging out. It's different though, Woody. The dressing room is different now. You know, like, it's so funny. I'm in two WhatsApp groups. The old lads I played with and the Worcester boys. And you've one group. I don't know how PC this is, and we can't cut it. But tough luck, Joe. We're like, one group is slagging a few of the lads that are going for the snip, and. The other group is chatting about how they can get 40% off Botox down in Cheltenham, and I'm there like... So, like, I what do you do? You can't reply to either. I'm in this horrible, horrible world.
And,
apologies.
No, it's important.
So that generation gap, talk to us about that, because you're the old guy now in that dressing room. So how is it different? How has the dressing room changed?
I think Draco kind of touched on it there. There's an expectancy from players now that they get the best. So, like, you go into our setup and the facility is incredible. The proportion of players per physio is through the roof. Player welfare is through the roof. And everything's really done for guys. But that becomes the norm. And for an 18-year-old who's never seen anything any different, you know, sometimes they can think that's really bad. And the best example I can give of it is we used to travel Cork and Limerick up and down the road, and you'd bring your lunch in Tupperware, and you'd be eating it out of the boot of your car, wherever it was, or however you could get it in. But over in most of our meals are measured out exactly for your workload that day. So, Joe, you covered 5K in the session. You're taking 70 grams of carbohydrate. Donica, you did nothing, so you're having salad. But then you've guys kind of so well looked after, and you hear them kind of sitting around the table, you hear, geez, the chicken's a bit spicy today, and you're like, oh, you lucky, you know what I mean? You don't know what it's like eating cold lasagna out of a boot of a car, you know what I mean? Trying to hide from John Hayes.
And
are you...
Are you becoming the crank in some ways? Are you having to watch yourself from sitting around saying, well, in my day?
No, and I'll be honest, this is the massive thing. I could be seen as the coach's eyes or the rat or, you know what I mean, the teacher's pet that goes to him. But I think I've been quite open in my frustrations as well from the player's point of view. And I think when guys see that and you've the respect of the room and your colleagues that you work with, it's granted... It's okay to give a guy a rap on the knuckles for, you know, something that's just ridiculous like that. But when they're actually making valid points about maybe training going on too long, drills being poor, that's when, I suppose, as a senior player, then I got to go to the coaches and say, look, this is, you know, this is a reality because I'm feeling it as well. Yeah. So I'm not saying that I'm in there... there's a group called the Sappuccinos. They meet every day after training for a coffee and an absolute moan. And there's some days I'm there, where are we going for coffee, lads? I have loads to get off my chest. So, like, for me, I suppose I have to say part of the dressing room as well, but my forms of communication with them are different. I'm cool now. I'm on Snapchat and Instagram.
I was going to ask about all that. So, like, your wife and kids are back in Cork a lot, and you're over there on your own.
Yeah.
So, like, how are you filling your time? Like, and like, how does the dressing room interact? What social media is?
Yeah,
a huge part
social
of it.
Media has become massive. So, like, we've really cool players' room. So, but when you get 15 minutes break, everyone grabs their phones. Now they're all chatting to each other like we always did, but they're chatting on WhatsApp or they're sending Snapchats or. And for me, it was really frustrating at the start because I was there, lads, Draco, remember, we used to throw the phones in the middle. That was one of the rules around camp, and we'd all sit around and chat. But they're kind of informing me, we're chatting. It's just you're not in the circle, you know what I mean? So you have to do a bit of work to kind of get in there. But, I'm bowling most evenings. I've got an unlimited cinema club card, which... Basically, is like I came home one night and Jenny was there, we'll go out, let's go out, let's go to the cinema, let's see La La Land. I was there, seen it, brutal. And then she's there, let's go to something else. And she listed out three other things. I was there, seen it, not afraid either. So I'm turning into nearly a bit of a movie critic from my time there.
We were talking a couple of weeks back and you were making the point that you're even getting on better with some of the players' fathers than the players themselves.
That was off the record, like, but if you want to make an absolute thing of it, fair enough. Yeah, there's going. One of my teammates, Ted Hill, is 18, and it's so funny. I remember when I got into the Corcon squad first, I roomed with Philip Soden, and I played with his brother, but he was married with kids, and I'd nothing to chat to him about. So I remember going to bed really early so I wouldn't have to chat to him. And he came back to the room at 7:30 and I was giving it the... But I'm that now. That's me. They're all trying to avoid me because they just... Like, one of them sat down with me the other day and they were, like, looking at me again and... how are your kids? So I kind of enjoy the awkwardness of it. But Ted Hill is in our team. He's 18. He's an incredible player. Really good guy. He's going to go on and do an awful lot. I think he's a real prospect. But just trying to drag Chad out of him has been so tough. But he lives in the academy house. So one of the days his dad came in and I saw the two of them at the table. So being a complete pothole, I sat down in between them. How are you getting on, lads? How are things? And I had an incredible conversation with his dad, who was a police officer in the north in the 80s and just had incredible stories. Like, I felt like giving Ted a pound and telling him, go to the shop. But it was one of those awkward ones. It was like, you know, Kevin and Perry, you could see Ted was looking at his dad kind of going, oh, for God's sake, So it's I am getting on better with probably that generation.
Did you get in much trouble with your housemate for outing him as a quote Tinder predator?
I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble because it was true. So he, but it's amazing. He tried to leave on that he was disappointed, but he was loving how his Twitter following was going up with Irish girls and stuff like this. He was there, look at this, this girl's from Kilkenny. So, it's my roomie at the moment. I'm living with a 27-year-old, Matt Cox, and he's more in a structured relationship at the moment, so I can't absolutely hammer him. But it's been eye-opening, to say the least, about how the dating scene has changed and moved on to Tinder. So I told you it before, he got out with me one night because he had matched with an Irish girl from Dublin, and she was over in Cheltenham and wanted to meet up, and he was there, listen, will you come with me? Yeah, you know, you're both from Ireland, you can chat about home, and then hopefully I'll swoop in and we're away. And I was there, look, Coxie, I've no interest in that, like, you know. And he said, don't worry, she's bringing a friend. So, like, I had to kind of get to the point with him, and they're like, Coxie, I'm a married man with four kids. And he was there, no, man, you're just a brutal wingman.
Well, look, I mean, I don't want to point accusations, but we did find this deep on the internet, and you can comment on it or not comment on it. It's totally up to you.
No.
That's a hell of a profile pic.
Yeah, Oh, I don't know even what to say about it. Is that me?
Yeah.
It's a great tan.
What was the shower company?
Triton.
Triton, of course. Who'd have forgotten Triton?
The T120, I could highly recommend it. Honestly, couldn't even shake that fake tan. You could see under that with a fake tan, wouldn't move it. So I hear.
Has it changed in other ways from Munster? Like, what have you learned about Munster's dressing room in hindsight by being in Worcester's?
Yeah, I suppose, look, I'll be honest, maybe it's all the provinces. It's given me a massive appreciation for what we do in Ireland. We bat way above ourselves as a country. You know, for when you think of where rugby is in the pecking order, to do what we do is, you know, it's incredible. And I suppose I see it kind of firsthand that, you know, you'd have a massive appreciation not only for my ex-teammates, but they were good guys, they were brilliant men, and, you know, it's hard now when you're on the stage with two of them, but like their character, they left that on the pitch as well, and I think that's a massive thing, whereas, you know, some guys look at it now and they want the kind of fame of rugby, or they want the following, and or they want the money from it, whereas guys genuinely, you know, back in the day, for me, maybe I'm sounding like an old man's ass, but they were talking out because they loved it. And it's different.
It's a testament to your professionalism, you know, that you started in Conn, I don't know, was it 18 or 19 when you won the AIL with them, and you're still going, just turned 38?
Am I right?
Yeah. I'm sure you're thinking year on year, but, you know, is it unrealistic to think that you could go for more than one? Or, you know, or is it, you know, body feels good, head is still switched on, or is it, listen, I'll just take the next few months as they come?
Yeah, no, I'll be honest, I'm signed on for one, so I'm nearly balls out for one. You know, I want to go back to pre-season, Draco, being in my best shape, and if I want to push on and be a leader around the club, I think I got to lead out fitness, and if that bit ever went, I think I'd gladly walk away from it. But I'm unbelievably hungry to still kind of do well and to achieve. And like Joe's question, when you're losing so much, it's really tough because it just nearly drains you. Whereas when you've tasted success, you want it. It's addictive. And I think we've an awful lot going well, but sometimes we wait for it to fall in our lap over there. And I wouldn't mind maybe taking on the roles like Woody, like you would have seen, the likes of Jim Williams with Munster when he came in. For me, he was a massive influencer into how I trained and how I conducted myself. And I'll never forget one day, I thought I'd trained quite well, but he pulled me aside afterwards and he said to me, that was awful out of you today. You were really bad at training. And the reason you were was because you didn't think about rugby since training finished yesterday, and 5 minutes before it, he's there. You don't keep a book, you don't keep track anything, and that was a massive kind of influence to me that you actually, like, I'd be first to me, I wouldn't have your talent, so I had to work hard. But there's plenty of guys in our squad that think they're talented and they're not, and they need to work hard and they're not doing it. Mm. So if I'd love to, like, I'll be honest, for me, I think Worcester can achieve. Will I be around for it? Most likely not. But I'd love to be one of the guys that Jack Singleton or Kitch looks back at and says, you know, he was a good guy, he kind of showed us the way a bit.
Yeah, okay.
It's when you go back on some of the early Munster stuff, and when you look at Worcester, like, I always think when you think of the Irish provinces, the guys who are there that are locals, they're the only team they ever wanted to play for. There isn't anywhere near as much turnover as there is in the English clubs. And I remember coming back from Quinns with great players, but it had changed all the time. And they were really, really good players, but didn't, and very, very professional, but didn't have a sense of team like Munster had from 99-2000. There was this sense that everybody was in it together. Like, how can you bring that, which is the bulk of your career, how can you bring that to a club that is still new to the table?
Yeah, and Woody, that's the difficult thing, because when I look at it, you look at Munster, there isn't a whole lot different between a Clare boy, a Cork boy, and a Limerick lad. You know, like, they're pretty much the same, but you, well, bar the Clare crowd, they're always a bit dodgy.
Careful.
But, and same with Leinster, same with all the provinces, but lads are generally pretty much similar. But you in England, you put a young fella from London, Newcastle, and Birmingham, and, you know what I mean, Cornwall together. They're a world apart. Yeah. Like, they're all slagging your man from Newcastle. You know what I mean? No one, and just it's trying to get that dynamic right, and then throw in Islanders, throw in foreign players from all over. It is quite hard to get right, and I suppose that's the point I was trying to make. That, to be fair to the RFU, they've got it right when the provincial setup has been incredible.
And just one more, I wanted to ask: you've had very few injuries in your career. What's been the corner, like, you haven't missed many games at all. So what's been the cornerstone of that?
I have a big ass, and but honestly, that's what a physio told me one day. Geez, you've a great rare chain. That's what they call big bum, and I think that's protected me. Look, I slag about it, but playing in the second row, it isn't like you were. Unfortunately for you, fast twitch, and that's what goes. Slow twitch. Here we go. I can stay on this train all day. You know, it's just. I've been lucky, I'll be honest, I suppose I'm, and look, I've no problem saying that, I'm anal about my body. Like, it matters to me that my body's my business, it's my tool, and as soon as I get a small niggle or knock, I'm obsessed by it and trying to get it right, and I think that's led to it a bit. I honestly think non-drinking has been a huge part of it, and when you were all poisoning yourselves after big wins, and it seemed like brilliant crack, I thought I'd never have the...
Trust me, it was. I think, the ones I remember.
Yeah, I'd love to go ha ha ha, but it looks like he actually had the laugh, and I didn't at all, heading off for an old protein shake or whatever it was, so...
Change of tack before we just let you go and bring out Johnny Sexton. It was something, Jerry Flannery was on the show and he spoke about it, and he just spoke about it so well, I did want to ask you about it. It was the day of the Glasgow game, obviously the day after Anthony Foley's funeral, and he talked about you obviously getting over to watch the game and making a point, even though I think you apologised later for doing it, of going into the dressing room to shake the hands of the Munster players who played that day.
Yeah, obviously, like, incredible week, you know, so sad, but that game coming about for me was medicine, you know. It was just us all being together and us watching that team. For me, like, I've been a part of that team and I'd seen those guys develop, but, you know, they were saddled with a really tough time of being labelled with the transition, and I was just so proud of how they played and performed that day. It was honestly like watching your younger brother do something incredible. And I remember before the game, like any of the lads would, you would have done anything to make that day special. It was too big not to go exactly like the boys produced, and you wanted it to go that way, but you kind of have the burden of thinking, oh, I need to get out and do it. And for me, it was nearly a, like, it's an awful thing to say, but a passing of the torch, that you kind of say, you know, Munster's all right, these lads have it, and it's their time to shape it their way. And you know, from being outside, the dressing room is a place, it's a special place, and it's for them, and I shouldn't have gone into that dressing room, but I don't know how I even ended up in there, but I was emotional. I ended up hugging guys and just thanking them for nearly their performance and how well they played, because I think they reflected the whole sentiment of that week and how they performed, and the only way for me that really kind of mattered.
Mm. And did Flannery write back and say, don't be silly, apologising?
Not really, no. He probably did an emoji of a thumb up, or Jerry wouldn't be the brightest on that kind of stuff. So.
There's a text in as we say goodbye to you for now. You'll be back out later on. This is going to sound like I'm arse-kissing, but it must be great to have a character like Dunnock around the dressing room. He'd make you want to come into training every day, says Brian in Galway. You could vouch for that.
Listen, you need players. Not only do you need people keeping standards really high, but you need people to bring something, bring an atmosphere, bring a positivity. And you always had that with Dunners on any tour. And I think Lions tours in 05 and 09, 05 was grim. But he did his level best to pick the moods of everyone up on that. And you know, when you look at the level of professionalism, you immediately get the respect. So you can be the practical joker, you can take the piss out of people because you're on that level already, and then the rest is just topping up and being more of a team player.
Yeah. It's great to have you here. Dunnock O'Callaghan, everyone. You can sit for a minute, we are here, of course, with HeinekenRugbyClub.com at the Mansion House. Experience Money Can't Buy Prizes, Backstage Stadium Tours, and exclusive event invites at HeinekenRugbyClub.com. We have Johnny Sexton next.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.